What's up? You're listening to another episode of Fired Up Radio. I am Kevin.
And I'm Jenna.
And we are so glad you guys are tuning in. And if you've been looking at your Facebooks, you'll realize that today we are now officially on iTunes.
So official. So you finally.
So you guys can go to your iTunes and download the show onto your iPad,
and
iPhone.
Share it on Facebook.
Yes. Yes. You guys are getting slack with your Facebook shares. We post and y'all don't share. You got to share. You have to.
And like our page. That's another thing.
But with no further ado, I've been so excited about today's show. We have one of the HSM staff members himself on the show, Logan. Yeah. What's up, Logan?
What's up, guys? How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to be here. So, yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a listener. So, hey, it's cool. This is cool for me.
Awesome. We're glad you're on the show, man. We haven't seen you since last HSM. What's been going on with you?
Yeah, man, it's summer, so things are just different than what I'm used to in the fall. And this is my first summer with HSM, too, so I don't really know what to expect. But it's been good. It's been a lot of fun. Hanging out with students all summer, going to camp. Just got back from a retreat with the seniors over the weekend. So it's been good. Just nonstop, really busy. Kind of busy right now, too, coming up on Haiti. And then hopefully looking for a little bit of downtime in August, because yeah. I feel like I'm about to collapse sometimes. But no, it's been good. It's been really, really good. Yeah, I've enjoyed it a lot, and we've had a lot of fun just hanging out all summer and just kind of chilling. And but I'm excited for small groups and stuff to start back up in September. So yeah.
Well, you obviously listened to the show last week.
Yes.
How did you like camp?
It was great, man. It was awesome. It was really cool, especially for me. My history is I worked at camp. I worked at Big Stuff for I interned there in 2010 when I was in college, and then worked there a couple summers following that, and was on staff and ran their internship program for a year or so. So that's all I've really known is camp life for the past, like, for the last five summers, basically. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of experience with camp, and this is the first summer actually that I've actually never at least visited Big Stuff for a weekend since I was a freshman in high school probably. So it was a little bit weird, but I know all the guys that kind of run high school camp, Reggie Joyner and Ben Crawshaw and those guys, and they're fantastic guys. They're awesome, and I worked with them a lot at Big Stuff. They were the speakers or they did leadership training there as well too, so really familiar with them, been friends with them for years, and they're all guys back in the Atlanta area that I was friends with. So it was kind of a little homecoming, honestly. It was cool to see all those guys and hang out with them, but camp was great, man. It was awesome, and it was their first year doing it, and I think they did a heck of a job for what they did for the first year, and I'm excited. We're going to go back next year, and we've already been talking about that in the meeting today. We were talking about ready to go back next year, so I think that's what we're going to do, and I think I loved it as a leader, and I think a lot of the kids I heard from enjoyed it, too. Yeah. I think we got a lot of good feedback on it. So, yeah, it was great.
Fantastic. I know a lot of my students loved it. They said they loved the small group aspect of it and the theme especially of the week. They said they got a lot more out of it than they had in the past in other camps.
Yeah, it was great. The messages were good. They were deep. But at the same time, too, they were not too much for students who – aren't as familiar with Christianity or aren't as familiar with being in a church environment for them to understand too. So that was what's really, really cool. And that honestly is what's amazing to me about all those guys who speak for a living like that, is just that they can make it so relatable for kids who are, have such a basic understanding and basic knowledge of Christianity. And also for kids who have been walking with Jesus for 10 years now.
Yeah.
And that's, what's really, really cool.
Yeah. I hate that I missed it. And I've been trying all of this week. What is of this week, of course, but last week when we did the episode with Harrison and Emily, to try to do the whole voices thing, because I hate that I missed it.
Yeah, it was a bummer. I wish we could have. I mean, yeah, there were several other leaders, you know, who couldn't make it or whatever. But I wish we could go back and
because it was definitely a topic that hit home for me when we did the episode, and it was so true. Like after everyone left, and I was sitting in here trying to edit everything, I was like, man, it's something that does hit home because now that I know what the theme was. I see it every day.
Yeah, and it's not something you consciously think about. I don't think either. It's like you hear voices all the time, whether or not you realize it. And it's like, is that, you know, media? Is
exactly.
That whatever it is? And a lot of times we hear our own voice, and sometimes our own voices are our worst enemies. So, you know, but yeah, you hear voices all the time and you don't realize it. It's not something you consciously think about. It's just, you kind of go about life and you hear different voices pulling you one way or the other. And, so yeah, it was a great, great topic, super relevant to all the students, I think. So, everyone of them I talked to seemed to get something, and none of them said that, like, after any message they were ever, like, bored or didn't know what he was talking about. They all could relate, so.
I know a lot of my girls, especially, they said, touching base with them after that week, they said they came home and they learned to make more time for quiet time.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing they took away. They loved having those small parts of the day to do the quiet time and have that time with God, and they want to continue to do that now that they're back from camp. So I think a lot of positive came out of that week.
Yeah, I can't wait for September to get here so I can actually, when we get to our, North Raleigh house, actually sit down and listen to some of the stories, because I'm dying to hear them. You know, even the ones that are serious and, of course, all the funny ones.
There's plenty with our guys.
Yes.
That is true.
Yes.
That is true. Knowing those guys, there's a lot of funny stuff that happened. We're some shuttle bus ride we were taking, and JC and Harrison were on it, and they were in the back of the bus, and they just... Seeing them interact with the other churches, it was hysterical too. So they were.
I bet.
There was a bunch of teenage girls in there, and you should have seen these jokers. Oh my goodness.
There's no telling what happens when those two are around. I mean, if you listen to the first episode, you realize how much fun we had.
Dynamic duo.
Yes.
Well, from the moment I think I got there that morning, they were asking where my bag was. And so for the whole week, they kept trying to find my bag, and I just kept holding on to my bag because I did not want to know what they were going to do with my bag.
No, that's probably wise.
They were going to call. They were going to plant something in it. I'm surprised they came home with eyebrows.
They told me they're going to shave my eyebrows. I did not let them near my sight.
Wow, yeah, that would have been. Oh, that would have been bad. I could see them doing that. I could see them.
They
doing
would
something
do
like
it.
That,
like I know if they had the opportunity without getting in trouble.
I know they would have.
They would have.
They would have done it. I'm surprised they didn't pay somebody from another church to do it.
Well, they're going to try to get Anya to do it, but...
I'll leave poor Anya alone. So, Haiti.
Yeah.
Haiti's coming up next week?
Saturday, yep.
Is this your first time going?
No, this is actually my third time visiting Haiti.
Wow.
I went in... Back, like I said, when I interned for Big Stuff, we went on a trip together as an intern team, and this was actually about... 3 or 4 months after the earthquake in Haiti.
Wow.
In 2010. So I got to go be there and be on the ground in Haiti a couple months after the earthquake. And it was wild, man. It was insane to see that stuff. And, I mean, the country looked like it had been through a war. And it just literally just ended. And, I mean, every other building was in rubble on the streets and trash everywhere, and I mean, I think even before the earthquake, it was already the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and then with the earthquake, it was devastating. I mean, I think the death toll there was like 230,000.
Wow.
It was insane.
Does that kind of stuff humble you to see it?
Yeah.
Because I've not been fortunate enough to go, like, to another country. Mm-hmm. So does it humble you?
Yeah, I mean... Just walking around there, seeing the people, talking to people, I mean, the stories are crazy.
Yeah.
You know, even the guy that was our leader on the trip, who is an American, he was born in Haiti, but he is an American. He's had ties to the country for years, and his best friend is a Haitian, and lost his life in the earthquake. And, I mean, he was our buddy Zach, who is the guy who led the trip. He was down there, and... you know, he tried to get there as soon as he could after the earthquake happened and got a plane. Someone helped him charter a plane and got down there within about 12 hours. And he actually, I mean, he told stories about how he went to the house and he knew his best friend was at and like dug his body out of the rubble.
That's crazy.
And stuff like that. I mean, even like still at that point we were down there, like they're still removing debris. And I'm sure like there were still bodies they were pulling out as we were there, because I mean you could just smell it, like on the street, like there was just that smell of death in the air. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like that, and I've been on several mission trips before. I've been to Ecuador a couple times, and I've been to Kenya as well, and Puerto Rico, and I've never seen anything quite like Haiti. It was a little different, but yeah, it was crazy. That was the first time I went. And we stayed for a week and helped rebuild a house, basically, or demolish a house, tear down what was left of it, and then help clear the rubble. So that was interesting. And then I got to go back a few months ago just for a weekend with a couple of their staff members just kind of to prepare for this trip. So that was a really, really short trip. That was less than 48 hours, just kind of a weekend trip down there. So, but I've got to at least see what's going on there at Hope's Haiti campus, Agape. And it's really, really cool. Really, really cool stuff happening there. So, yeah, so this will be my third time actually going to Haiti. So, second for an extended period of time.
And what are you guys going to be doing while you're down there?
So, we are going to be running a vacation Bible school type camp, sort of, for kids. So, basically, kids to the age, anywhere from about 5 to 6 year olds to 11 year olds. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the age range we're expecting, 11 to, well, maybe more, 12 or 13 probably. So that's kind of the age range that we're looking at and expecting. And it'll be like a 3-day camp. And basically, we're talking about grace. And so we're sharing, kind of presenting them the gospel the first day and talking about grace and what that looks like and explaining what that means. And talking about the prodigal son one day, talking about the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep. So, yeah, it's going to be really cool. So that's kind of the main purpose of the trip, is to be there for the camp that we're putting on. A team went down actually about 2 weeks ago and did a similar camp for their high school age students. So this will be the second camp they have now down there. And it's basically kind of introducing small groups as well. They don't know, small groups is not something that they're used to there.
Right.
So this is kind of introducing them into the idea of what small groups is and kind of kicking that off with the camp. So that's kind of the goal. The purpose of going is to kind of set up small groups and kind of help launch that with a camp.
Well, I know when Watoto comes in, you know, when the kids come to the church and they do the little production.
Yep.
You know, they tell their story about how their world is upside down in Africa, but they're still so, so positive. Is that kind of the same thing for the kids in Haiti? They're seeing all this destruction, all this poverty, but yet they still stay just so positive about everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's partially too, I mean, you know, when you or I go to Haiti, we look at it and we see this and it's, you know, 1,000 times worse than what we're used to in this country, obviously. And so to us, that's not normal. To them, that's very normal. Like, that's what they know, you know? So it's, so you give a little bit of that. It's just, it's commonplace for them. It's what they know. It's what they're used to. But at the same time too, you know, children in a different country in the United States, just in general, man, they all have a different demeanor about them. They don't have that. I mean, all kid to an extent has a little bit of its materialistic, I want, I need, you know, kind of idea. But, man, these kids are so great. It's like you give them, like, a wadded up, like, piece of tape and they'll use it as a soccer ball and play. Like, they love that junk, dude. Like, so, yeah, they just have a different demeanor about them. It's a sweet innocence that American kids just don't have.
No. So no,
they just don't. You just don't have, you know.
It makes me think when I first met Kimberly – when I first, you know, met her with HSM, she always referred to the, you know, the first world problem. And I think about that every day, especially when Watoto comes in and I'm sitting there and they're talking about how their village was burned down and their parents were murdered. I'll say that.
Sure.
And they're still so positive. I'm sitting there like on the way home complaining because my phone's not in 4G, you know, or what have you. Yeah. And I always think about that when I hear you guys going to other countries.
Yeah. And that's something we're emphasizing with our students this week is when we go is, you know, and I told them this, preparing them in the past meetings we've had, is just, you know, you're not going to be comfortable. Like, I 100% guarantee, promise you will not be comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, there will be days you will probably go without a shower, and you won't have a hot shower right there. Like, promise you. And so the looks in their faces, they were like, what? No. Like, I was like, no, like, you're not going to have, like, a hot shower. Yeah. So I was like, take a good long hot shower
before you go.
On Friday night, because you will not get that again for a week. But yeah, I mean, they're gonna be uncomfortable, and I'm excited for that, to be honest. Not in like a twisted or weird way. Like,
no,
make them uncomfortable, but you know,
it may really put some perspective in their lives.
Yeah. It will. I remember the first time I went out of the country, like, and I was about their age. I was 16 years old and went to Ecuador, and I remember being blown away. I was like, this is wild. I never knew anyone live like this. I never knew it. And it wasn't necessarily like a sad thing. It was just like a, this is normal to them. Like, that's what they live. That's their way of life. And I get that. And it just it gives you a lot of perspective, though, for how blessed you really are in this country. You know, even even you know people who are not as financially blessed here in this country are still, in comparison to some of these places you go in the third world, is like, man, you got it fine. Like, you're going to be all right. So, yeah, so that's something I've kind of emphasized with them is just understanding that they're going to need to get out of their comfort zone and just kind of have to deal with it. And it's going to make them uncomfortable, but you know what? Gotta learn.
Well, hitting on comfort, where are you guys staying at or sleeping?
Sure. So we're staying at the pastor of the church. His name is Jean Alix.
Mm-hmm.
Jean Alix has offered his home to us. And it's about an hour away from the church. The church is in downtown Port-au-Prince, basically, or a small community of Port-au-Prince called Patienville. And he lives kind of up in the mountains, about an hour north, or maybe it's south. I don't really know. But it's about an hour away from Port-au-Prince. And so he's got a pretty sizable house. I mean, it's probably pretty comparable to actually a lot of American size houses, maybe a little bit smaller. But it's open. It's a completely different style, obviously. So, but he's got a bunch of bunk beds in there set up specifically for teams like this to come in, and he can host them. So that's where we'll stay. The girls kind of have their own little room upstairs with like 6 to 8 bunks, and they'll stay in there. And the guys have kind of a little foyer area downstairs, and that's where we will stay. So that's kind of what it looks like right now. Eventually they're going to have set up kind of a it's hard to explain. Kind of like a missionary house, sort of, where they're going to have teams that can come in and host. But there will be, like, permanent missionaries that live there on the ground, sort of, and can help host teams. And it's relatively close to where Jean Alix lives as well, too, but it's in the mountains. But it'll be more specifically built as, like, a dorm for mission teams. So that'll be what they have in the future. But for now, that's not done yet, so we'll be staying at Jean Alix's house. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
What about, like, the food and stuff for them?
So a typical Haitian diet looks kind of like, it's similar to like a lot of Caribbean, South American countries. Yeah. Rice and beans, okay. Very common. Most every meal will have some sort of rice and bean combo. They eat fish. Last time we were there, I think we had grouper or something like that.
Okay.
Goat is
a little different.
That's goat. Really different.
Be different,
yeah.
For me, anyway.
Yeah,
exactly.
Same here.
Exactly.
I guess then that's like a steak. I don't.
Sure.
I don't,
yeah. It's goat's pretty common for them. We had it last time. It's pretty good, to be honest. It's not like it looks kind of like steak. It's maybe a little bit like more tough, I guess, okay, than steak to eat. But I liked it. It tastes fine. Like,
I just tell them not tell me what it is.
Yeah, that's really what you gotta do. Just like, hey, just eat this. It's meat.
It's okay, it's steak. It's fine.
Yeah, so it was good. There's a lot of like fruit and stuff, plantains, just different like melon, kiwi type things. Yeah. So
basically what you're saying is if there's any kids listening going to Haiti with you next week,
mm-hmm.
If you don't like any of the food, there's not a McDonald's on the corner.
No.
There's not a Burger King. There's not a Chick-fil-A. No. There's not a Taco Bell.
There is not one of those. they do have pizza, some pizza places down there.
Really?
So,
oh, no way.
Yeah, we'll probably get pizza a day or
that's
two.
That's kind of cool.
So we'll probably have that at least at some point, get some pizza. And a lot of them, I remind them, just say, hey, like, bring snacks. You know, like, there will probably be food, like, that you may try and not eat all of because you just won't like it. And so, you know, I'm telling them, hey, bring, you know, some granola bars, whatever you got to bring. And then especially our students with, like, food allergies, you know, they know what they can eat, what they can't eat. So it's important that they pack what they need for food-wise. And then there'll be times, like, we'll go get food from – we'll go to, like, a little restaurant that has, like, normal – kind of like normal American-esque food. You know, mm-hmm. We get a burger, we get chicken fingers or something along those lines. So then chicken, of course, they have chicken, fried chicken a lot there. So
I do love me some fried chicken.
You know,
so good.
Get some fried chicken there if you need to. But yeah, so that's kind of what a typical Haitian diet or food looks like, is something along those lines.
Now with the guest home that you guys are staying at, the pastor.
Yep.
Does he have showers in the house?
Yeah, he does. He's got a, I think there's, think there's like two bathrooms in that house. I can't remember last time we were there. Oh, you were like super short. So it was, yeah, I had a shower down there and, like I said, it was cold. There was not like a heavy flow of water either. So you kind of fill up this bucket and like, then it kind of just streams real slowly out of, the shower head. And, but more or less you use the bucket.
Yeah.
And kind of just dump it on you and soap off and then dump off, you know. And so it's kind of like that. Mm. It's not the most optimal way to shower, obviously, but you got to work with what you have. Yeah.
How many students are going to be staying in the house?
So our team is 20 total. There's six leaders and 14 students.
So shower time is like 1 minute.
Yeah. It's going to get out. And we told them that we're going to have to schedule it pretty much for them to shower, and it won't be every
day. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So it'll be, some of them will shower in the morning of a day.
Mm-hmm.
Then a couple may shower that night we get home, and then some different ones may shower the next morning and kind of just do a rotation like that. But, you know, they know that they're not going to be able to probably shower every single day. I told them to bring extra deodorant.
So it's a good idea.
I was like, just bring the DO for the BO, you know? So, yeah, so that's the plan, is add more deodorant.
Besides doing the kind of the small groups,
uh-huh.
What other plans are set? Are you guys building anything or going out into the country, yeah, so to speak?
So the main thing is, you know, this launching the small groups in the camp. We're going to be able to attend their church service, which is going to be cool.
I bet.
It's awesome to see the way they do church in Haiti. It's really, really cool. It's a little different than what they do here. They're very into it. They're extremely into the worship. It's really, really cool to see, and it's all in Haitian Creole. It's not really in English, so, you know, you don't really know what they're saying, but at the same time too, you do know that they're worshiping the same God you are, mm-hmm, which is really, really cool. That's always one of my favorite parts about mission trips, is just being able to worship side by side with people, seeing something completely different, but it's all the same to God. Yeah. Like God hears the same. So
that is awesome.
Yeah, and that's what's really, really cool. So we'll be able to attend church with them, and then we'll do some touristy stuff too as well, and try to help, you know, contribute a little bit to their economy, because that's really one of the only ways that country makes money, is through tourism. So we will, you know, try to contribute to that. We're going to go to the beach one day. There's like a cool like beach resort that we're going to kind of hit up the last day we're there. Go to the market and stuff, kind of check out the countryside, yeah, that way. They have a really cool place called the Lookout. That kind of overlooks the whole city. So that'll be really cool. So that's kind of the big thing. And then we'll just help around the church. Whatever they need to help set up, clean, cook, those things, we're going to be there to help them do that. It's not so much manual labor. This is more relationship building,
yeah,
and helping launch the small groups than anything else. I would love for them to be able to build something or tear something down or whatever, but it's probably not in the cards for us to do that. And it's going to be mad hot, like,
I bet,
super hot. Yeah. Like, I looked at the forecast today, it's supposed to be like 95 all week.
Wow.
And so, yeah,
I saw that you were wearing one of the mud bracelets.
Yes,
for the students who can't go to Haiti, can, uh-huh, they purchase one of those to help contribute to the church down there?
Yeah, I mean, I think they could. I think that we are selling them at Hope, through Global Hope. They can probably purchase these. I know we're taking a bunch down for the kids, yeah, to have. But yeah, I think that these are, you can purchase these at the church, I believe. And yeah, all that would go, the proceeds, yeah, would go to God. Because
in that way, if someone's like, I really can't go, at least, yeah, they can, you know, contribute $10 or whatever. And,
sure.
And,
yeah. Yeah, that's one way. Then, I mean, we still have some of our team is still fundraising. We're pretty close to all of our goals, but some of our team is still very close to finishing out. So that's another way, if people do want to contribute, is, through fundraising that way, and I can, you know, I can post a link or something like that. People can get to it if they want, yeah, but, yeah, so.
Awesome. And what's your hope out of this week you're going to come home with?
So it's a little different for me because, I mean, everything I've known, all the trips I've ever been on, I've been a part of the team and a member, not the leader of the team before. So it's a little different for me this, yeah, year, being, this is the first mission trip that I've ever led and kind of head up. So I kind of have hopes for myself, and hopes for the students. I would say hopes for myself would be, just that I'm able to lead in the capacity that God wants me to lead, whatever that may be. That logistically everything goes the way it needs to, that everything's smooth. And because, I mean, that's the thing I'm worried about the most, because I know how mission trips are. They never go as you plan them. Something always goes wrong. And so I'm just hoping to be prepared enough for whatever snafu happens, and we can bounce back from it, and just be ready. And, you know, ultimately my responsibility is to make sure the students enjoy themselves, enjoy the trip, that they get, you know, that they serve in the capacity that we're supposed to serve, and to keep them safe. So that's kind of my hopes for me, is just that I can be a sufficient leader for them, be a good leader, and help encourage them to serve and build up that community and build up that church. And then for the team, my hope is just that, you know, for most of these kids, it's their first time out of the country. And so one hope I have is just for them to be blown away, just their minds blown. And I know that's going to happen really in the first 20 minutes we're there, because we're going to walk out of the airport and cram into these two little vans and drive across the city, and they're going to see stuff that they never thought they would ever see in person. So they're going to be blown away. I hope they come back with a new perspective on life. I hope they come back just, yeah, with a different outlook completely than they've had before, learning to cherish what we have a little bit more. But also understanding, and this is what I've kept saying to them as well, is just, you know, yes, you're going to be in Haiti, and yes, it's a very broken country, and yes, it's very impoverished, but at the same time too, like, look for hope, look for the winds in that, look for God in that, because while, yeah, it is bad or whatever, like, there are certain times where you're going to see God do some crazy things. You're going to see some incredibly beautiful things too, in a country that is extremely broken. And so that's what I hope for them, is that they come back, you know, with the ability to see hope in such a dark place, because that's really a lot of what you get when you go to Haiti, because it is so broken. It's so impoverished. It's so lost, but there's so much beauty in it, in not only the countryside and, you know, the actual appearance of Haiti, but the people are just incredibly beautiful people, beautiful souls. They're so just genuine and sweet, and it's awesome. So I hope, that's my hope for our team, is that they just come back with a different perspective and a different outlook on what they have.
So this is crazy to think that you could live in such a poverty-stricken country, not have anything. I mean, no running water. You're taking showers out of a bucket. You're having to, you know, I'm showering on Monday, I'll shower on Thursday kind of a thing. And yet just be so happy. Where we have full-time jobs, we have, most of us have money.
And we still complain.
Oh, yeah. Can't find happiness. And I do it all the time. I find myself constantly just being so negative about everything, where I'm, you know, have a house, a family, no one's repossessing my vehicles kind of a thing. And I'm still finding myself being negative. I don't have this. I don't have this. I don't have that. And then I hear those stories you tell me. And then of course, when Watoto comes in, it just kind of, it's a reality, like, slap in the face.
And that's what's crazy about it, is, you know, it's that mentality. It's just the stuff that we're used to. It's commonplace for us. To these people, it would be an extreme luxury, and they would be like, wow, that's cool. You know, you guys have that stuff on the regular. And we're like, oh, yeah, this is nothing. This is normal, you know, for me. That's what's crazy. And that's a universal thing. Like, that's across the world. You see that. It's not just, like, in Haiti or, you know, you see that all over the place, just with people who don't have them, as we, they're not as fortunate as we are. They just cherish things differently. They cherish life differently, and they cherish those little things. And that's just, that's how it is. And it's incredible to see that. And as Americans, it's something that we have to learn, and we need to learn and understand and learn to be happy with what God's blessed us with, which is a lot, really. So
I think it's weird too, when, you hear individuals from poverty-stricken countries talk about how much pain they've went through, you know, family members dying and all that kind of stuff. They never blame God. They're always thankful. And then you hear in the U.S., I'm not speaking for everyone, but then I hear people in the U.S. that lose a family member or what have you, or, you know, something happens in their life, and the first one they blame is God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird how it's different. People in other countries kind of say, you know, God's going to pull me through it. And then here we go. Well, right. You know what? It's God's fault that you know, so-and-so died. Or,
yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to think about stuff like that. And I think part of it, too, is just because, you know, we don't – I feel like in America, we don't – I think it's easy as a Christian to be caught up in, like, yeah, like, I love God and stuff and I love Jesus, but there are times I don't need him, you know. I think we do that far too often. It's crazy, like, when you go to a different country, seeing how they – the reverence that they have for God, for church in general. You know, when I went to Kenya, we got to do church with them, and church there is not a hour and 5 minutes. Church there is like 3 hours, and they are not ready to leave after 3 hours.
Wow.
And it's cool because the whole community comes out, and literally you get there at, you know, 9 o'clock, and they go till 12 o'clock in one service, and then people hang out from 12 to like 4. And just
crazy.
Chill. Like,
that is crazy.
Like, they don't leave. Like, I don't.
Because you.
They bring food, and it turns into like a giant party at the church. And you're like, what the heck is happening? Like, this is awesome.
You've been to Hope Service. Yeah. When Mike says you're dismissed, oh, it's a mad dash.
People are running, and the parking lot is full, man. Yeah, yep. Dude. So it's cool to see stuff like that. And the reverence that people have for church and for God in other countries is just, it's phenomenal. And I think there's so many times we look at our, as Christians in America, we go and we want to help other countries and, you know, give back and serve. And I, 9 times out of 10, I'll tell you, people who go on mission trips come back and they're like, I got so much more out of that than I gave. Like, yeah. Every time. And you hear that all the time, and it's commonplace. And that really is true. It's like, dude, we should not be going on mission trips there. Like, they should be going on mission trips to the United States. They'd be like, what are you guys doing? Like, you guys are crazy. But yeah, that's what's cool about it is you, just the reverence that they have for God in places like Kenya and places like Haiti. And part of it, too, is just because they just have known from the get-go, like from growing up, hey, like, you have to have a reliance on God. Like, that's what's going to get you through life because it will be tough.
Yeah.
And I think we have that to an extent, but it's blurred because we have all these luxuries that we can fall back on. Like, okay,
yep.
I don't feel God. That's fine, but I'm in my ridiculously huge air-conditioned basement, like, chilling, playing Xbox, you know, I'm fine. I don't need that stuff. So
we're definitely a self-made kind of attitude about us.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not that God helped us get here. It's when things are going well in our lives, we've self-made it.
We did.
I
that.
Did this.
We did that.
When things are terrible,
sure.
We're quick to be like, "Where are you at, God?"
Yep. Sure. And that's the thing. And I've had this conversation with my students before. Is man, we talked about it a little bit. Actually, this is what we kind of talked about last week in our Bibles and Burgers event. Was just, you know, we kind of put God's like this kind of backpack, basically. Like, we get home from school and, like, you don't want to do your homework. You throw the backpack in the corner, and then you come get the backpack when you need it. And
yeah,
our relationship with God is like that so many times. It's like, you know, everything's going good. Like, God, like, you kind of stay over there in the corner. Yeah. And then when I need you, I'll come get you. And that'll just be on my own time, and I'll use you when I need to use you and not really worry about you the other times. And I think we do that so many times, it's ridiculous. And I'm guilty of it too, so.
I know.
I'm like that
it.
With you. Yeah.
And that's just something that I need to keep working on, and I got to keep learning, and it's a matter of relying on God in every situation, whether things are good or things are bad. It's just relying on God in those situations, so.
I know Jenna asked you, what was your hope? Real quick, what do you hope God does while you're down there?
Well, I mean, obviously I'd love to see as many of the kids there be able to make a decision to follow Jesus as possible. I think that would be cool. I think they had, I don't remember last week when they had their high school camp, how many students I heard made decisions. But I know they had a decent amount.
And, yeah.
That's really what I hope, and then I hope people in that area know that the church is there, and the church is there for them, and they come be a part and enjoy it. And every week, every day, we're expecting more and more kids to show up. Right now, we already have 150 students signed up for the camp.
Wow.
Kids.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we're, you know, still a few days out, and they'll still talk about it this weekend at church there. And so I'm sure there's going to be more, and every day there's going to be more coming back. That's what happened the last trip. The first day, they had 150 kids, and then the next day there was like 220, and by the time they ended the camp on the third day, they had 275 kids.
That's amazing.
So
that is.
So we're kind of expecting the same thing, hoping for the same thing at least, and hoping that, you know, God's going to blow the roof off that place, and that the kids are going to get in there and love it and want to be a part of church and want to come back and want to make that part of their week, is being a part of Agape and being a part of God's kingdom. So that's kind of what I hope God's going to do. And yeah, I'm pumped. I'm excited. Yeah, man.
I'm excited to hear about it.
I am too. Yeah, we want you back on.
Yeah,
when you get back from Haiti.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We'll definitely put it on Facebook. Anyone who wants to share their story of their trip to Haiti, definitely.
For sure.
Definitely come on. I would love to hear. I want to hear the stories.
Absolutely. I'd love to cram like 15 people in this thing.
Yeah,
I know. I think it's going to end up coming to that point. There's going to be like one or two episodes where it's going to be just, I'll have to move stuff. Everyone's going to be sitting on the desk.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we're so thankful you came on.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. Hey,
thanks for having me. I love doing stuff like this. And yeah, anytime.
I was excited that you were excited,
dude,
about it.
Absolutely. I was pumped. I don't know, I feel like this is so legit. Like, this is cool, man.
That's awesome.
We've been having fun with it. That's
yeah, we love it.
And
I feel like a big deal all of a sudden. Like, I'm not, but I feel like a big deal.
I thought it was a big deal today that way. I was like, we're going to have Logan
on the
show. I know,
we're so excited. We're talking about it all week.
Bring me back to my old days, acting and stuff, man. This is great.
I love it. And then tomorrow we have Patrick Smith on from, I think, the Middle Creek House. He's going with you to Haiti as well.
Yeah, he'll be with us. And Patrick's an awesome kid. He actually just started an internship with us as well at the church.
Yes. Did you see our logo?
Yeah.
Great kid. Yeah. We were talking on the phone. He was, since he knew he was doing the show tomorrow, he's been calling over the weekend, just kind of touching bases.
Sure.
And I asked him how things were going with the internship. He said, great. And he's like, is there anything I can do? And I was like, well, you know, like, you can do a logo.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he was going to produce something that phenomenal.
Dude, he's a boss.
I was so shocked when I got it. And we were so thankful for
him. He's awesome. He's already worked on, because the way we do smart group stuff, we plan everything out for years, really, in advance. But so we already have like all of our titles, and for the most part, our titles for this semester and themes and ideas. And so we kind of laid them all in front of him, and he's been working on those. And he's already come up with some really, really good stuff I've seen, and he's still working on some other projects. But no, he's
a good kid.
He's great, man. He's awesome. Kid's got a bright future ahead of him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So we have
him on tomorrow to talk about the small group that he started at his high school.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to touch bases with him. Kind of the same questions with his, you know, what he's hoping to get out of Haiti.
Sure. Yeah, that'll be awesome. He's a cool guy. I'm excited to see what he's going to get out of the trip, too. So he was super pumped from day one when we interviewed him. I was like, man, what do you think about this? And he was just excited. It was just cool to see. And it was a no-brainer. I was like, all right, come on, let's go.
Yeah, he's come a long way because when I first started HSM, I was at Athens House, and he was there. And he was one of those kids that he was just always a go-getter when it came to hope. He always wanted to share his topics.
Yeah.
So he's such a good kid. I can't wait to hear his stories.
Yeah, tomorrow. He's going to have a lot of good stuff to say for sure.
So any closing words, Jenna, before we let Logan get out of here?
Just I'm excited to have you back so we can hear about this trip.
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited to be back. And so
just we'll be praying for you guys while you're away.
You. Appreciate it. Yeah, I would. That's what I would ask. If you guys just keep praying for us and pray for safety and pray that the details come together and that everyone's safe and the weather's good. And because right now the weather's looking a little sketchy, so we'll see. But it's going to be hot and rainy. So, you know. But, yeah. So, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
No worries, man. Again, Facebook likes. Fired Up Radio.
Yep.
Go to it, like it, share it.
Share it, like it, do it.
And then, of course, we are available for download on iTunes.
Yes.
So you guys can download it to your iPhone, iPad, whatever you have, and you guys can listen to it while you're on a long car ride or what have you.
Or when you go to work or school.
Or whatever.
Yep.
Anyway, Logan, thanks for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And we're Fired Up Radio, and we are out. Yeah.
God.